Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. And today, if you'd like to follow along in your message, follow the message along in your Bibles, I'm going to be preaching from a passage I began last week, 1 John chapter 1, if you'd like to turn there. And I'm going to begin in verse 6. And the title of today's message is Walking in the Light. Walking in the Light. Now, last week I did the Fellowship of Light. I urge you to get that message or listen to it. You can go to our website and find it, or to sermon audio, places like that. But we're talking about believers, sinners saved by grace, who have been brought into the fellowship of God in Christ. That's what John said in verse 3 on chapter 1, that when we're brought into fellowship with one another, that bond of union that binds true believers, sinners saved by grace together, in separation from the world and the world of darkness, they're brought into that fellowship of light. And he says, truly, our fellowship is with the Father, God the Father, and His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's a work of God. You see, here's what people, I think, don't understand today a lot of times. They don't understand that it's not you or me or any sinner who brings ourselves into the fellowship of light, into the fellowship of faith, into the family of God. It's God who brings us there by His grace. And if you'll look with me over in John chapter 6. Now, this before we get to our text in 1 John 1, let me show you this. This is John 6 and verse 44, the Gospel of John. And listen to what he says here in verse 44. He says, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, what he's describing there is the natural man who I speak of all the time on this program. That's 1 Corinthians 2:14. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Neither can he know them. They're spiritually discerned. The natural man is the fallen, sinful, unregenerate man or woman, who we fell in Adam, and we fell into a state of sin and death, and were born into this world spiritually dead, with no ability and no desire to believe God's way, to glorify God, to follow Him, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. To the point, the Bible teaches now, that if left to ourselves, we will not choose Christ. It's not a matter of your free will. Somebody says, well, you've got the choice. Yes, you've got the choice, but if left to yourself, you'll make the wrong choice. I'll make the wrong choice. That's what the Bible teaches. Why? Because no man can come to me, God, Christ says, except the Father which has sent me draw him. Now that word draw is an interesting word. It's the same. You remember there's Christ spoke a parable of the dragnet where he talked about throwing the net over and drawing in the fishes with the net, dragnet. Well, that's the same word. And so you could honestly say it, that no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me dragging. Now that doesn't mean, as one false preacher said, that God doesn't drag his people into the kingdom kicking and screaming, or he doesn't drag them against their will. No. What God does, he drags them or draws them by changing their will. The Psalm says he makes us willing in the day of his power to come to him. The Bible says in the Old Testament that God says in salvation, he'll give us a new heart. He'll give us a new will. He'll give us a new spirit. and we will come to him. And that's what he's saying here. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Well, now, how does the Father draw his people? Well, look at verse 45 of John 6. He says, it is written in the prophets. Now, this is back in Isaiah 54. And they shall be all taught of God. God teaches them. Teaches them. And he does it through the preaching of the gospel. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And this is a revelation from God. I can tell you the truth, but I cannot make you believe the truth. I cannot convince you to believe it. Only God can do that. So that if I'm the poor excuse for a preacher whom God uses to preach the truth to you, I'm not the one who got you to believe it, if you do, but God is. So they shall be all taught of God, even though he uses human instruments. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And that's what he says. And so he says, they shall be all taught of God. Look at the next one. Every man therefore that hath heard. Now you remember when the disciples asked the Lord why he spoke in parables over in Matthew 13? He said it's a judgment against those who shut their ears to the gospel. They don't have ears to hear. They've got physical ears, and they can hear what I'm saying, but they don't believe it. They don't receive it. They don't heed it. But he told the disciples, but blessed are your ears, for they hear. Now, did the disciples hear because they were better people than those who wouldn't hear? No. We're all sinners who would turn our thumbs down on Christ if left to ourselves. But God gave them the gift of hearing in the new birth. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God revealed himself. He said, you have eyes and you see. So hearing, that's what he's talking about. Every man therefore that hath heard, that's by the power of God, and hath learned of the Father, through the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, know how God is just to justify the ungodly, based upon the glorious person and finished work of Christ, cometh unto me. Now that's how it happens, you see. And that's how we're brought into the fellowship of light. Well, when we're brought into the fellowship of light, what do? We walk in the light. Now that doesn't mean that we're perfect people in our walk. The only perfection, now listen to this. The only perfection that a sinner saved by grace can truly claim honestly before God is the imputed righteousness of Christ. Now, I say that all the time. If you don't know what that is, study it, seek it, learn it. It's the heart of the gospel. And what that means is that the merits of Christ's obedience unto death, and how meritorious is it? Well, it brought life from the dead. He was raised from the dead. Because he finished the work. He paid the penalty. He paid the debt. He put away my sins. And he worked out a perfect righteousness that enables God to be just and still save sinners like me. That's what he did. And so, that's the perfection of righteousness. So when we talk about walking in the light, we're not talking about being perfect people in ourselves as if my obedience measures up to the perfection of law. It doesn't. My love. I can truly say I love God. I didn't before he brought me into the kingdom and showed me his glory. I can say I love my neighbor, but not perfectly. The only perfection I can claim is Christ's perfection charged to my account. But having been justified in God's sight and redeemed by the blood of Christ, and regenerated by the Spirit, born again by the Spirit, I now walk in the light. I walk as a sinner saved by grace in all my imperfection, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. And that's what he says in verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him, fellowship with God, fellowship with Christ, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Over in the book of John, chapter 3, it speaks of light. In verse 19, it says in John 3:19, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. Well, that's Christ. Christ has come into the world. And His truth, His doctrine, the teachings that identify Him as to who He is, God manifest in the flesh, and identifies what He accomplished in His obedience unto death to save His people from their sins. Now that light has come into the world, it says, and verse 19 says, now listen to this, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Now men, who's it talking about there? Just a certain class of people? Or is he talking about, there's the people that are worse than I am? No, he's talking about all people by nature there. They love darkness and hate the light. You say, well, I might not be dedicated. I might not go to church every Sunday, but I don't hate the light. Let me tell you something. The light exposes what we naturally think and esteem as bringing us to salvation. Our works, our decisions. Do you believe that Christ died for everybody and that salvation was conditioned on you making the decision for Him? Well, my friend, that's evil deeds. No, sir. It's not based upon it's not conditioned on me. And people today, they claim to be Christian and they'll think of everything they can think of other than the right thing to claim their salvation. I did this, I did that, I stopped doing this, I stopped doing that. I made this decision, I had this experience. That's evil deeds. And why is it evil? Because it doesn't glorify God. It glorifies you. Why is it evil? Because it denies Christ, who came to meet all the conditions. That's what the gospel is. The gospel is the salvation of sinners, all conditioned on Christ, who fulfilled all conditions to secure the salvation for all for whom He died. And that's the righteousness of God revealed in the gospel. Now, if you believe it's conditioned on you, what you do, what you decide, what you try to do, that's evil deeds because it denies what Christ did. That's a mark of pride. So look back. This is John 3:19. He says, men love darkness because their deeds were evil. The light of Christ, the light of the gospel, the light of righteousness exposes everything that men and women hold in high esteem as being salvation. Christ spoke of that in Luke 16, I believe it was, when He said, that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination to God. And then He says in verse 20 of John 3, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Now the doing evil there is not just immorality, it's talking about religious efforts, like the Pharisees. And He says, they hate the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved or discovered. Unless what we think is good is really exposed as being evil. And verse 21, He makes this statement. Now look at this. But he that doeth truth, doing truth, what is that? That's believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your whole salvation. Pleading His blood alone as your only ground of forgiveness. Pleading His righteousness imputed alone as your only ground of justification. He that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought of God. They're the work of God. Whatever I do that is good in God's sight is not my work at all, but it's God's work in me. And the way that we can explain that is by going to the scripture, Ephesians 2 and verse 10. Which says, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Not because of good works, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You see that? That's the work of God. So back here in 1 John 1, if we say we have fellowship with God in Christ and walk in darkness, in false gospels, false doctrine, conditional salvation, free willism, we lie and do not the truth. We don't believe in Christ. Verse 7, it says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we walk in the light as Christ is revealed in his light, in his truth. We know Christ. Do you know there are counterfeit Christ? How do you know the difference between the true Christ and a counterfeit? Walk in the light. The light of truth. What does the Bible say about him? You know, there's denominations who call themselves Christian who deny the deity of Christ. They're not walking in the light. They're walking in a lie. There are denominations who deny the humanity of Christ, that he was a real human being. There are people who say that in his humanity he became a sinner. They're not walking in the light. They're walking in a lie. They're walking in darkness. There are those who say that Christ only attempted to save people from their sins if they would let him, and that he didn't actually save anyone by his own, by his obedience unto death alone and his resurrection. They're walking in a lie. They're walking in darkness. So if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. We have fellowship with everyone who's walking in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. That's a testimony. If I'm walking in the light, that's an evidence that the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed me from all my sin. Again, my tears. Listen, should we be sorry for our sins? Most definitely. I should be a lot sorrier than I am. I should shed tears of remorse and sorrow over my sins. But my tears will not wash away even one sin. A river of tears, an ocean of tears would not wash away even one sin. It takes the blood of Jesus Christ. And let me say this before I move on, because you're going to see several if clauses, if, in this passage. If we say we have fellowship, if we walk in the light, if we say this, if we confess this, if we say this. An if clause under the gospel dispensation, the new covenant, is not a condition that sinners must meet in order to attain or maintain the blessing that is related to that. The if clause under the gospel is an evidence of having already attained it by the grace and power of God. Now, how do you know the difference? The gospel is the gospel of grace, all conditioned on Christ. So, he says, if we walk in the light, this is evidence, he says. We have fellowship one with another, and that evidences that the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, has cleansed us and is continually cleansing. It's a continual thing from all sin. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. That's the hymn, you know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so he goes on. Now, verse 8. He says, if we say that we have no sin. Now, there are people who say that. If we say that, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We sing another hymn in our church. It's called Only a Sinner. Only a sinner saved by grace. Only a sinner saved by grace. This is my story. To God be the glory. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. What he's talking about here is our state here on earth as sinners saved by the grace of God. You know, one of the things that helps us understand the Bible is to understand the difference between our standing before God in Christ and our state here on this earth as believers, sinners saved by grace. Our standing before God in Christ is a legal matter, in which we stand before God, having our sins put away, washed by the blood, washed away, purged away, pardoned. Okay? No record of them. God said He'll remember them no more. No record. No, in other words, when I stand before God, He will not bring them up again because there's no record. My slate has been wiped clean by the blood. Not by my works, not by my tears, but by the blood. And I stand before God perfectly righteous in Christ based on His righteousness imputed without one flaw. That's my legal standing before God. But while on this earth, my state, my present state here on earth is this. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. So that if I claim that I have no sin or that I'm not a sinner, what's He say here? We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. There are people today who claim to be Christian who say they have no sin, that they're not sinners. Let me tell you something. The infirmities of the flesh, this body, your body, is in the process of dying, decaying. And that's a consequence of sin. The Bible says in Romans 8:10, the body is dead because of sin. That's the reason we die physical deaths. It's the consequence of sin. But the reason that we don't have to die eternal death, eternal damnation, is the consequence of righteousness. Romans 8:10 says the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is life because of righteousness. So even though my body is dying, I have diseases, I'm 68 years old, and I have several terminal illnesses that eventually will rack this body if God doesn't take me out in some other way. But this body is dead because of sin. That's the consequence of being born in sin, fallen in Adam, ruined by the fall. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But the reason I have eternal life, spiritual life, and that I will live forever in the fellowship of God is because of righteousness. Now, where did I get righteousness? It's not in me. It doesn't come from me. It's not worked out by me. It's the righteousness of God in the person and work of Christ imputed to me. But I'm still a sinner while here on earth, and I will be until I die. Or until Christ comes back again, which I will be experience the equivalent of physical death, because this body, this corruptible, must put on incorruption. Now, if I go through this life and say, now I'm a believer, I'm saved by the grace of God, now I'm no longer a sinner, I lie and deceive myself, and the truth is not in me. The Holy Spirit who resides within me is a continual spirit of conviction, showing me my sins and the fact that I deserve nothing but death and hell. I've earned nothing but death and hell, but He drives me to Christ. For joy and peace in believing, looking to Christ. Who is my hope? Christ is my hope. Christ is my peace. Christ is my assurance. Christ is my joy. You see that? Not in me. It's Christ. And that's, I'm a sinner. And I've said it so many times on this program, and I say it all the time to the congregation to whom I pastor and preach to every Sunday. That if God were to judge me right now, sitting here with a Bible open, preaching, if God were to judge me right now based upon my works, I would get nothing but death and hell. But you see, God doesn't judge me that way. He's already judged my sins when Christ died on the cross as my surety, my substitute, my redeemer. And therefore my sins are washed away. Did you hear what Jesus said to me? Your sins are taken away. That's what they are. They're all taken away. As far as the east is from the west, the Bible says. God's thrown them behind His back. He'll never see Him again. He will not hold them against us. So, we're sinners. And if we say we're not, that's evidence that the truth, we walk in a lie and darkness and truth's not in us. Verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, Now, confession of sin is not the ground or cause of forgiveness. It's the evidence of forgiveness. And so if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The confession of sin is not the cost of forgiveness. Repentance is not the cost of forgiveness. Whatever is the cost or the ground or the cause of forgiveness has to be able to make God both faithful and just. And the only thing that can do that is the blood of Jesus Christ, which is His righteousness imputed. So if we confess our sins, that I'm only a sinner saved by grace, that I deserve and have earned nothing but death and hell, that's an evidence that God has been faithful to His promise to justify me from all my sins based on the blood of Jesus Christ and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. God's forgiven me. He's cleansed me. I'm clean in His sight. I'm still a sinner. And I'm in need of continual cleansing and forgiveness. And that's what He does as I look to Christ. And then in verse 10, listen to this. He says, if we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. I heard a preacher say one time that if I'm in Christ, that means I have never sinned. No, if we say we've not sinned in any given situation or that we've worked up to the righteous perfection of righteousness, we make God a liar, and His word is not in us. We're not walking in the light. We know and understand that this is the truth. Walking in the light shows us the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, and it shows us our sinfulness, but our hope is in Him. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.